This audio presentation is the teaching of Walter Moniz of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Let Freedom Reign, was delivered on July 4th, 2021. Here now is Walter Moniz.
Triple shower when I get in. I'm going to go down there and serve the county and our racers at the track. But could we please welcome Walt for worship today and for our message?
Love you, bro. Love you, bro. Thank you so much. Woo! Frank, great job. Thank you for all that you're doing. I mean, for your ministry. I was so blessed to, as part of my studies, I'm taking some classes to kind of grow and expand my knowledge and my insight to the calling that God has for me. So I'm taking some pastoral classes. And one of the classes that I was taking is a chaplaincy class. And we had to actually, for the final paper, do either a report on one that we had studied in the course or somebody that we knew personally. And I was so grateful and thankful to be able to interview Frank and realize, you know, the ministry that he does that down there at the racetrack is just phenomenal. Not just being a light in an area down there, Lord, that his presence is the actual presence of God. And he has such a servant heart to serve the people down there. I mean, he goes and he helps pit crews and he helps the track organizers keep things online and keep things functioning. And he's just letting his light shine right down there. And it's such a blessing that somebody can have their passion or what they love to do be their ministry, you know? And it ties into what we're studying, you know, at the men's group, you know, having our work being our worship. And he's able to walk that. And God has given him the desires of his heart because he has a heart for racing, but not also for racing cars and stuff like that, but for the community, the racing community itself. So I'm so blessed to have had the opportunity to do that. So I thank him so much, Brother Frank. And it is my pleasure to and honor to be standing here, you know, in his place. But first off, introduction, happy 4th of July.
Yes.
Happy Independence Day. Here's a brief history lesson. On this date, back in 1776, the leaders of the original 13 colonies who were at war with the Kingdom of England or Great Britain regarded themselves as 13 independent sovereign states, no longer under British rule. They declared with one voice, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." With the Declaration of Independence, these new states took a collective first step toward forming the United States of America, the birth of a nation. Like you've heard everybody say this morning, personally, I believe that we are blessed to live on this beautiful island in this wonderful state that is part of an awesome nation, one founded on Judeo-Christian values. Is it perfect? No, far from it. Does it have its flaws? Sure. But praise God, I'm here and I'm blessed to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Amen.
Amen.
There is one song by this one guy, Lee Greenwood, that sums it up quite well. Now, I'm not going to try to sing it because I'm not as good a singer as Pastor Aaron in there, but the chorus goes, "Where I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men and women who died that gave that right to me. And I will gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. For there ain't no doubt, I love this land. God bless the USA." Happy birthday, America. So we're going to take a closer look this morning on a thing called freedom, you know. Something that, you know, at times we may take for granted. We'll look at, what is freedom? What makes us free? How do we know we're free? As a Christian, what are we freed from? What are we freed for? And how do we live as free people? Freedom is defined as the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. The state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. The state of being physically unrestricted and able to move easily. The state of not being subject to or affected by a particular undesirable thing. The power of self-determination attributed to the will, the quality of being independent of fate or necessity. The absence of subjugation to foreign dominion or tyrannical government. As William Wallace so passionately cried out to his men before charging into battle, they can take our lives, but they can't take our freedom. Yeah. Freedom is a deep-seated passion. No one likes the idea of being ruled or held captive, especially if you live in this great country. Try as they might, you know, a lot of people or a lot of laws or views differ from what we know is our rights and our privileges. We have so much to be thankful for. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where does the Spirit of the Lord reside? Where does the Spirit of the Lord live? In the hearts and lives of each and every believer and follower of Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. As we just sang, so I will walk in that freedom and walk in that liberty. That's what Christ died for, so that we can live from that place. It goes on to say in verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Transformation, being transformed. This is comparing, what they're doing here is they're comparing the old covenant and the bondage of the law to the new covenant of the Spirit, where we are freed from the law by grace, not by anything that we've done, but what has been done for us, on behalf of us, that we are able to look upon the Lord with unveiled face, being unashamed, being not condemned, being not judged. He sees us as being holy, righteous, and redeemed in his sight, not by anything we did, but by the blood of Jesus that covers us. There is no longer guilt, shame, or condemnation. There is nothing separating us from God now. Our face shining like a mirror, reflecting the brightness of the Lord. So we are being transformed, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. We have been unbound from religion, from any man-made rituals or beliefs. The Jewish people, this rang so true for them, because they were under such subjugation. Being the people, the chosen people of God, they had all these rules that they had to live by. And the rules weren't the one that made them holy. It just showed them that they couldn't do it on their own, that they needed a Savior. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments. They had over 300 something specific rules and stuff that they had to follow in order to be determined righteous or be gracious in God's sight. But God came and sent his son to do away with all of that. So we are not, so he, what he's saying here is don't conform yourself again. Don't subjugate yourself again to the yoke of slavery, of tradition, of man-made laws, of rituals, of the beliefs of man. You have been freed. Galatians 5:13 says, you were called to freedom. Jesus, hey, it's freedom here. I'm calling you out. Come unto me. Brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Same thing that Frank was talking about. You are bought with a price. He gave us two commandments. He took away all the law. He fulfilled the whole law, Christ did, with his death on the cross and his resurrection. And he gave us two commandments, to love God and love one another. That's how we walk in faith. That's how we show that we are truly disciples of God, is the love we have for one another. So number one, freedom is positional. What do I mean by that, positional? Okay, let me give you an example. Just because you were born in this country or you immigrated to this country, became a naturalized citizen, you know, you are a citizen of the United States. And as a citizen, you are entitled to certain rights as outlined in the Constitution, and you are protected by its laws and statutes. You are free to live life, to have liberty, and to pursue happiness. You're positioned there just for having been born or immigrated into this country. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We have been adopted. We are now children. And as we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, by this God has given us the right to be included into his family. As Christians, we are citizens of God's kingdom. We have in Christ promises we can go after and claim as we believe and embrace the truth found in God's word. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for as many as were promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also, through him, Christ Jesus, they are amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises in the Bible are yes and amen. Are yes and amen. We got to go after them. We got to go seek them out so that we know what we have as children of God. Romans 8:15-17, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, a spirit unto the law, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may be glorified in him. He chose us. He adopted us. He looked at you over the scope of eternity and said, yes, I want that one. We are born into this world. We don't get to choose our parents. But people who are adopted, they're chosen. God chose each and every one of you and said, yes, I want that one. I want to go and live in that person. Number two, freedom is not free. It comes with a price. Freedom, although liberating, is never free. It comes at a cost. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In that verse, did you see anything that we did? No. He, God, made him who knew no sin, which was Christ, to be sin on our behalf. Why? Why would he do such a thing? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ Jesus. See, when I was first coming to church, or when I first got saved, I was told the reason that he died was because I was a sinner. as Jesus hung from the cross, I was taught, this is what he was saying. Look what you did to me. Look what your sin has cost me. And I always felt condemned, ashamed, you know, that I could never measure up, that I was the one pounding the spikes in his hand. But God made him to be sin. This is what the cross really said. When you look at it, he says, I love you. Christ is actually saying, I love you. He's saying, I know who you are. I've known you from the beginning. I was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Your life is worth my blood. We see our created value in the price that he paid. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died to set us free. While we were yet sinners, knee deep in the muck and the mire, living contrary as aliens from God, living as enemies in enmity with God and his kingdom. While we are in that state, he sent his son. For God so loved the world that he sent, that he gave. He loved the world, so he gave. And Christ did not come in this world to condemn us, but to set us free that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Does it mean it's, you know, full barns, fatter vats, blessings, and safety? No, that's just a byproduct. He came to set us free, to put his life back inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you have been bought for a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We find our identity and purpose in him. The Father wants to do a work in and through each and every one of us. He wants to change our motives. He wants to change the why behind our life. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He wants to conform us into his image. It's about transformation. If any man come after me, what is the first thing he has to do? He's got to deny himself. Then pick up your cross. Why do you have to deny yourself? Because you have to realize you weren't made or created for you. You were created for his image. You were created for his image. You were created to be the manifestation of his love on this earth. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's the hope that his manifestation in you and through you will be his glory upon the earth. We die so that we can live. We die to ourselves to become alive unto God. To be a living sacrifice daily. It's about being selfless. The biggest problem with the world today is selfishness or self-centeredness. You know, as soon as Adam ate the tree, what is the first thing he did when he heard God? Fig leaves, hiding in the bushes. He was self-centeredness. He was being ashamed of what had happened. Fullness of God. Takes a bite of a fruit, all of a sudden, God's calling, Adam, where you at? And I said, oh, I heard you coming, Lord, and I was ashamed. Did you eat the fruit? Yes or no answer. Did you eat the fruit? Yes or no? No. It's the woman you gave me. Self-preservation. The image of God was lost as soon as took a bite. And then Christ came to put that image and restore us back to a right relationship with the Father. It is not just to receive blessing or protection or just, you know, try to get by or try to make it to heaven someday. It's about heaven coming into us so we can receive forgiveness and become that forgiveness. So they can we can receive mercy and become mercy. So that we can receive and be established, rooted and grounded in love. So that we can respond with love. I like what Frank was talking about. You know, he was at a point where he was broken, and because of the situation we're going on in his family, people not making right choices. But his response is beautiful. He prays for them. He continues to love on them. He does not condemn them. He does not forsake them. He knows God loves them more than we ever could, because he sees them for what he created them to be. And he's calling them to that purpose. And we just got to come behind and just love on them. We don't let where somebody's at spiritually, or where they may not be spiritually, determine where we are. We need to be rooted, grounded in love. Understanding how the Father sees me. Understanding I am worth the blood of Jesus. Understanding that blood has washed me and weighed me and made me clean. And I can stand before him boldly, unashamed, pleading the blood of Jesus because of what has been done for me, not because of what I have done. You were created to shine. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before man in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, so that they may see Christ in you, the hope of glory, manifesting on this earth, touching people's lives, right? Not being affected by the sin, picking up your cross, not be affected by sin that's done towards you to create sin in you. We do not repay evil with evil, but we repay evil with good. When we see who we truly are, is where we find the joy of the Lord, even in trials and suffering. Philippians 2:15, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as light in this world. You are the plan A of salvation. God chose you to be on his team. You're the best he's got. And he's okay with that, because he knows what you look like when he lives in you and through you. He never lost sight of why he created you. Even on your darkest day, he still looked upon you with grace and mercy. And he says, I know that's not what I created you for. I know you're not living up to your purpose and your potential. I see you for who you truly are. Come unto me and find your rest. Come unto me and take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am humble and meek in spirit, and I will give you rest. Freedom is a state of being. Number three, freedom is a state of being. When you woke up this morning, did you have to actually think about being free? Did you have to actually think about it? No, you naturally understood that you were free. And you got up and got ready for church without a second thought. You were walking in your freedom. It is that same concept we bring into our spiritual walk. We can wake up in the morning and just be accepted by God. Believe in his truth. Believe that you are righteous. Believe that you are clean. It's not about focusing, but I hear you. I hear you. Well, I don't know, brother. You know, we're sinners. We're always going to sin. You know, we could be sinning right now and not even know about it. When you focus and live and wake up every morning trying not to sin, where is your mind? It's on the sin. If you wake up just to be a child of God and look up and say, thank you, Father, for loving me. Thank you that I am accepted and I can stand here blameless in your sight. Where is your focus? On God. Am I even thinking or worried about sin? No. Set your mind on the things above. Right? And everything else will be added onto you. Why does it say to set your mind there? Is there a possibility that your mind could be set someplace else? Obviously, when I'm waking up and I'm trying not to sin, instead of walking in righteousness. When you wake up, and you walk in righteousness, that righteousness leads to holiness. Without me even biting my lip, trying to be holy. The Lord says, be holy as I am holy. How is the Lord holy? Does anybody have to tell him that? Does he have to do something to establish, be established in that? No, he's holy. He is set apart. Be holy as I am holy. Be. Thank you, Lord, that I am holy in your sight. Thank you, Lord, that I am righteous and redeemed. Thank you, Lord, that you've adopted me to be your child. And it's from that perspective that we live. It's from that perspective that we can have joy in the midst of suffering, in the midst of sorrow, because we don't see our situation based on it. We're not determined by our circumstances. We are being determined by the establishment of truth. When we sin or when something bad happens to me, are we any less anointed? Are we any less saved? Do we feel like we gotta earn it? We cannot do anything to earn it. So just be there. Live there. Walk there. Wake up every morning and just thank the Lord that I'm more than my situation. I am more than my circumstances. I have faith and trust in you that you're going to work everything out for my good, for my benefit. See, religion is working to be, but Christianity is being to work. We are his workmanship. We created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's not that I got to make sure I read my Bible, I pray every day, I give my tithe, and that's going to make me holy. No, we do that from the perspective of we understand our relationship with the Father, and that produces our actions. We let our relationship with him determine why we do things, how we love, and the position we stand in. John 8, 31 to 32. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What sets us free? What sets us free? The truth. Not just the truth, but knowing the truth, believing the truth, walking in that truth, living in that truth, from the truth that I see in the perspective that is found in the Bible. That's what sets me free. What you believe determines the way you're going to live your life. You got to have a single eye. The eye is the lamp of the soul. If the eye is filled with light and focused on God and his light and his goodness, you will be flooded with light and in turn shine. It says, put on the garment of righteousness, because condemnation, blame, and self-doubt, you don't look good in that. Why don't we just put on the garment that God made especially for us, the garment of righteousness, knowing that we have a right standing with God, knowing that despite my circumstances or what's going on in my life, I still know that he loves me. And I'm not determined by what's going on. I'm determined by how he sees. I've been rooted and grounded and established in the truth, and that has set me free. John 8:36. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. You should never let anything decide who and how you are, but the truth that is found in him. Jesus changes lives. You are who you allow Jesus to help you become. Your life lived is evidence of what you believe. The enemy, see, he works with self-centeredness, with guilt and condemnation and shame. He works with unbelief and gets you to take your eyes off of truth and get you to believe that you're still that old person you used to be. He gets you to walk in the past to make your yesterday your tomorrow so that you can never walk in your present and things to come. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he can destroy. He's prowling about looking for weakness. We're called to greater things. 1 Peter 2:16, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but as a bondservant unto God. See? We can live a lifestyle of love because God created us to be love, because we're created in his image and God is love. So we are to let the freedom that the Lord gives us to reign in your hearts. Go after God and allow his truth and love to define and change your life. How do we walk this out? Okay? So how do we make what we're hearing today on Sunday our Monday morning? We live in the present. And the Apostle Paul said it great in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Monday morning, when you wake up, proclaim to God. Go to him and just thank him. Lord, I thank you for the breath of life. Lord, I thank you that I am freed. I thank you, Lord God, that you sent your son to die on the cross, that I can stand before you blameless, holy, and above reproach in your sight. Lord, I choose to put on the garment of righteousness this morning and walk out in love. I set my mind on things above. I'm not controlled by my circumstances. I don't need somebody to treat me a certain way for me to be okay. I've been established in you. You love me, and I'm okay. It's not about having your ducks in a row. It's about being in communion with the one who created you, to seeing your identity through his eyes and shining as light in this world. That's how we live our Monday morning. That's how we live our Tuesday morning. Not worried about, oh God, life is a grind. Lord, you gotta help me because I don't know if I'm gonna make it through the day. It's, Lord, thank you for this day. This is a day that you have made. You have made this day. There's not gonna be another day like this. And I choose to walk in your purpose. I choose to walk in the identity that you created and called me to be. I'm gonna walk this out, Lord. I'm going to walk this out in righteousness and not let the world determine who I am. I am a child of the living God, and you are alive in me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So in closing, walk in that freedom. Go after him. Pursue him. Seek everything that he has for you. When you're down and weary, look up. From where's come your hope? Right? He's a strong rock and our tower. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you have upon your body, Lord God. I thank you that we are members of your church, Father God. I pray your grace upon the lives of these people, Lord God, that you call them, Father God, call them forth. You've called them out into freedom, Father. Help us to be established, Lord God, in your truth. Help us to know the truth that sets us free, Father God. Help us to live and walk out, Lord God, what's in your word. We thank you, Lord God, for healing. We thank you, Lord God, for blessings. But most of all, we thank you for your mercy and your grace that abounds new with every day. Lord God, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory because it's due only you and you alone. And in Jesus' holy, mighty name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Wald. I love that. You know, when you get up tomorrow morning, know that you are not bound by like 600 something laws. Know that you are not bound or a slave to sin anymore, because God has set you free. Amen. Hey, we're going to take communion now. So everybody got your, anybody need a communion cup? Everybody got one? Wow, you guys are on it this morning. Right on. Yeah, Pastor Aaron asked me this morning if I could do communion. I'll get him back later. But that's okay, because I enjoy doing this. You know, when the Lord gave us this instruction to do communion, I don't think they had cameras back then. They didn't have an iPhone, so he kind of paints a picture for us by giving us the bread and the wine. And the bread represents his body, which hung on the cross, broken for us. And his blood poured out for the new covenant, for the cleansing and the washing and the forgiveness of sin. So when he, because there wasn't a camera to take a picture of him on the cross, he gave us this illustration, this picture that we could do on a regular basis, so that we would never, ever forget what he went through for us, so that we could have the freedom from sin, the freedom from all these laws. And he's in 1 Corinthians says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you.'" So when we do that, we remember his broken body hanging on the cross. And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, do this as often as you drink." So if you have your bread and juice, you know, you peel off the top and you take out the wafer. Yeah, it's tape proof, so I'm having a difficult time. You know, maybe it's age proof. All right, so he got this bread, and which we don't have. And maybe if you get that bread and you kind of break it in half as a picture of his broken body, he broke the bread and he said, "Do this, take this in remembrance of me." You may take out the bread. Yummy. Yeah. That's why we do the bread first, all right? Then he took the cup. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And he said, told us, "As often as you drink in remembrance of me." So it was a sign of his shedding his blood for us, for the washing of our sins. So you may take up the cup. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you have given us a way to remember what you have done for us, so that we could be set free from the laws, from the bondage of sin, because of you, your body being broken and you shedding your blood. And you have instructed us to do this often, to remember you. So, Lord, as we do this morning, help us to remember what you did for us only because of your love, not because of anything that we might have done, but because of your great love for us. We remember you and what you did, and we are grateful and thankful, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Oh, well, all of you have a safe 4th of July, and remember the birthday of our country, but also remember what Jesus did for you to set you free. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week, and we'll see you at Men's Ministry on Saturday.
You've been listening to Walter Moniz of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keao, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.